Mr. John Russolo, Reverend Billy James Hargis, here are the issues. How do you answer the charge that your organizations are anti-U.S. government? Are the John Birch Society, the Christian Crusade, and other groups connected or working together for the same goal? Which presidential candidate has your support in the 1964 campaign? For the answers to these issues, the leaders of two groups under fire last week by representatives of the Council for Civic Responsibility, who charged that they're extremists who undermine American democracy. Former Congressman John Russolo, Public Relations Director for the John Birch Society, and the Reverend Dr. Billy James Hargis of the Christian Crusade. To interview these gentlemen, ABC News correspondent John Rolfson.
Gentlemen, the charge is frequently leveled against your organizations and was stated, as you know, on our program last week, that your effect is not anti-communist at all, but that your positions and tactics are so extreme that they undermine American democracy and assist international communism. Would you comment on that, Mr. Russolo?
Well, yes, the best answer to that is, of course, we are an anti-communist organization, and I'm sure that Dr. Larson understood that and knows it full well. The best proof of that are the thousands and thousands of articles that have appeared in the communist publications in this country. Those publications identified by the FBI as known communist publications, and also the publications of the communists overseas, consistently attacking not only the John Birch Society, but the Christian Crusade, and many other fine anti-communist pro-American groups in this country, many of the ones that Dr. Larson has charged very falsely. And so actually the charge is, of course, not only false, but on the basis of the communist publications themselves. The John Birch Society and these many other organizations, the Christian Crusade, have received the brunt of the attack by the communist publications in this country. In addition, the communists themselves, as they speak on our college campuses all around the country, Gus Hall and others, consistently attack us as the most effective organizations against the communist conspiracy. And so there's no doubt on the basis of the record that we are strongly anti-communist and, more important than that, very pro-constitutionalist. Now, most of these organizations that Dr. Larson has named and his group, his rather strange group and collection of people, most of these organizations spend a great deal of time enunciating their support for a constitutional republic, which we all believe in. So we actually support the government. Our disagreement is with the people who misuse the power in this form of constitutional government.
Well, now, one of their points is, however, and Dr. Hargis, perhaps you would reply to this, that your organizations wind up on the same side of a good number of public issues, nuclear test ban treaty, NATO, the United Nations, etc.
Well, of course, this is false. Let me say in the beginning that these liberals of both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, such men as are on this National Council for Civic Responsibility, men like Ralph McGill and Larson and Stanley Marcus and the president of the National Council of Churches, Bishop Mueller, they feel that when you criticize them, that you're criticizing the government. The Johnson administration is not the government of the United States. They are merely temporary administrators. And when we criticize an administration, whether it's Republican or Democrat, we're not criticizing the government. These men somehow or another confuse that their ideas are the ideas of the government. In fact, men like, let's say Hubert Humphrey, or men like Dr. Larson, many of these men have views that are contrary to even the Kennedy administration. For instance, when Mr. Humphrey's group, the Americans of Democratic Action, advocates the admission of Red China to the UN or diplomatic exchange with Red China, this is contrary to even the Johnson administration. Our official idea or philosophy of the United Nations is that we will keep Red China out. So if anything, they are contrary to the government of the United States if by their philosophy, being opposed to the administrators of a foreign policy or domestic policy is anti-government. Now, the charge that was made last week on this program that the anti-communist groups, the grassroots movements, often agree with the Communist Party, this is ridiculous. Now, for instance, I think there were some three charges made. It was suggested by Larson that because we opposed the Test Ban Treaty, we agreed with the communists. Well, this is ridiculous. Here's the Communist Worker for August the 4th, 1963. The headline says, People's Voice Can Push Test Ban Through Senate. The Communist Party did everything they could to get the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty passed. Here's another issue.
I think they specified on that you agreed with the Chinese communists.
Well, of course, they make a distinction between communism, but communism is an international conspiracy. These differences are only in the minds of the liberal eggheads who don't bother to study. Now, here is another communist worker for January the 28th, 1962, where the communist worker says, and this is from Moscow, that Khrushchev announces that they're going to denounce anybody that's anti-United Nations. Now, we oppose the United Nations because the Soviet Union does not keep its promises. They do not pay their share of the financial responsibility. We say that they either obey the United Nations Charter or they be removed from membership. Personally, I'd like to see the United Nations consisting of only nations that are opposed to communism, nations that are opposed to oppression and slavery, and make it a workable organization, one where treaties are kept, one where the word of the member nations or the constituent nations really has some meaning. And to say that because we oppose the United Nations, that this satisfies the communists, this is ridiculous because the communists have never opposed the United Nations in any of their American publications. In fact, they oppose anybody that opposes the United Nations. I would say that when Dr. Larson made his charge on this program last Sunday, that because we're against the United Nations, because we're against the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, because we are against foreign aid to communist countries, that we share the same philosophy of the communists, I would say, one, that he's either ignorant, or second, he is guilty of Marxist dialectics. He knows that he's not telling the truth, and he feels like Goebbels apparently did. If you tell a lie long enough, the people will believe it. Or third, he's trying to confuse the American people with a distortion of facts. I would hope that he is doing this unintentionally. But I will say that the anti-communist movements are diametrically opposed to communism, its American publications, and international communism. And to accuse us of siding in with the communists on any issue is guilt by association, it's un-Americanism, it's un-Christian, and it's contemptible.
Well, let me return to a point that you raised, saying that just because you oppose the administration, you do not oppose our government. The point is often made about your organizations, and let's say specifically the John Birch Society, that by impugning the integrity and the patriotism of our highest officers of government, you are undermining public confidence in the government. And the most often used example is the statement by the head of your organization, Mr. Welch, that Dwight D. Eisenhower was a traitor and a communist agent.
Well, first of all, let me say this. Just because people criticize the head of government agencies or people in positions of official capacity does not mean that they're charging everybody with being traitors. Now, one charge that was made on this program last week that's absolutely false, and Governor Minor knows better than this, and I'm sure he'll want to retract it publicly because he's so incorrect. He made the charge that several of these organizations have called Chief Justice Warren and four presidents communists. That's absolutely false. Now, Governor Minor knew that. I don't know why he made such a ridiculous charge. He makes himself just look stupid.
Well, let's go to that.
All right.
Mr. Welch has called Dwight D. Eisenhower a communist agent and a traitor. Harry Truman, he says, was used knowingly by the Communist Party, and Franklin D. Roosevelt was used unknowingly.
Yes, that is correct.
Do you agree with these?
Well, first of all, let me say this. The John Birch Society has never accepted Robert Welch's full thesis on Dwight David Eisenhower. That's been published in a book called The Politician, and everybody's invited to read it and judge it for themselves. But last week, Dr. Larson tried to imply that this was literature of all these other groups who've had nothing to do with The Politician. And this, again, was an attempt to discredit the other organizations because many people do not agree with Robert Welch
But this is an idea your organization nevertheless promotes.
No, it is not, because the John Birch Society Council very specifically said that if The Politician was ever published, it would be done entirely on Mr. Welch's own, and that's the way it was done. Robert Welch, because of all the criticism, published the record of Dwight David Eisenhower in 1963. But all these other organizations had nothing to do with it. And yet this man tries, Dr. Larson, to imply, also in this week in an advertisement in the Washington Post, tries to imply that all these other organizations have done the same thing, which is absolutely false. And Dr. Larson knows it. And that's the tragedy. He sat on this program last week and lied time and time again. Now, I would like to make one thing public. The John Birch Society, and I can't speak for the other organizations because they stand on their own feet, and I know they'd be delighted, but I certainly hereby challenge Dr. Larson to a public televised debate. Let's see who's telling the truth. We'd be delighted to bring our truth to light. That's all of these organizations are doing, is trying to bring the truth to light so that more American people can know what's been going on in our government.
Dr. Hargis, I wonder if you would answer this point, which Mr. Russolo made a point of, whether attacking leaders of government is an attack and undermining the government itself.
Well, of course, it's amazing to me that the men who make this charge are the best practitioners of it. Here's Senator Fulbright, who's referred to Barry Goldwater as a Stalinist. Martin Luther King in Germany the other day, and I was in Germany when he made this speech in Berlin, said that Barry Goldwater was another Adolf Hitler. And the very men who say that the conservatives are guilty of guilt by association, are destroying the confidence of the American people in their government leaders, are practicing it today. These charges by various liberal politicians against Barry Goldwater, to me, is appalling. Now, I want to say this, that I think this National Council for Civic Responsibility is nothing but an anti-Goldwater and anti-conservative movement. I really don't think they're interested in Billy James Hargis and Christian Crusade or the John Birch Society. I think they're fearful of the chances of Barry Goldwater in November. Now, I think I can prove that. The National Council for Civic Responsibility is nothing but a front for an outfit here in Washington called Public Affairs Institute, which is headed by one Dewey Anderson. Now, Dewey Anderson is a longtime liberal. He's a very arrogant man around 70, a California rancher, who claims that he has started everything from motherhood to the Point 4 program. And Dewey Anderson and Arthur Larson from Duke University down in Durham started this outfit called the National Council for Civic Responsibility. But it's interesting to note that even in their own literature that they admit that they get their funds entirely from Dewey Anderson's group. In fact, here's an exact quote from the press kit of Dr. Larson. He says, "The work of the National Council for Civic Responsibility will be financed by voluntary contributions to the Public Affairs Institute. Yes. Such contributions are tax-exempt." So therefore, even in their ad, which they carried in the Washington Post this past week, they admitted that they were nothing but a department or a front for a group which has been led for many, many years by extreme liberals of both political parties, the Public Affairs Institute. And let me mention this, please.
Let me just ask right here. What makes this an anti-Goldwater group? They are not attacking Senator Goldwater.
There is not a single member, not a single member of this committee of 80 or 100 or 200, they change it every day, they have a press release, how many committee members they have. There's not a single man in there that is not anti-Goldwater. Every man on the committee is anti-Goldwater. They're either members of Republicans for Johnson Club, the so-called moderate Republicans, or they're outright Democrats.
But when they attack you two gentlemen and your ideas,
this is guilt
by association. Consider that an anti-Goldwater attack?
Yes. They think by creating the straw man, that all of Goldwater's friends are a bunch of extremists, they're a bunch of fascists, that they can destroy of the people's confidence in Goldwater. I am convinced that this is a pre-November action. Now, take, for instance, this is the Public Affairs Institute own release. And in this release, now they now admit in their own ad that they are the parent organization of this new smear bund of the left called the National Council for Civic Responsibility. And in their own publication, they admit that this outfit was started by Hubert Humphrey, who now wants to be Vice President of the United States. He was one of the original founders. So here I can see the guiding hand of Hubert Humphrey again. Hubert Humphrey's name is not on the committee, but nevertheless, Hubert Humphrey's name is very much in the literature of Public Affairs Institute. Hubert Humphrey was one of the guiding hands, one of the founders of Public Affairs Institute, which is now just before the election, very conveniently started an anti-conservative or anti-quote right-winger, end-of-quote organization called the National Council of Civic Responsibility. I want to say this. In my opinion, this is a political act. In my opinion, it's an effort to destroy Senator Goldwater by guilt by association. In my opinion, this is nothing in the world but an effort to use generalizations, emotions before the election to destroy political opponents. They cannot prove the charges they made, as we have already mentioned. The charges they made here last week that we sided with the communists is ridiculous. It's a lie. It's smear of the worst type. I will guarantee you, if somebody will give Christian Crusade $500,000, as someone has given this outfit, we will not deal with generalizations. We will deal with facts as we have for 17 years on our broadcasts and telecasts and publications. Well, we don't have to dig up emotions and facts and untruths, because there are facts support our charges.
Well, on this political point, are your organizations supporting Senator Goldwater or working for him? Well,
let me speak for the John Birch Society. The John Birch Society does not endorse candidates. We don't raise money for candidates, and we don't recruit for political parties. It's very true, and we've made it clear from the beginning, that we encourage our members to be active in the parties of their choice. About 50% of the John Birch Society members are Democrats, and about 50% are Republicans, and they work within the framework of the party of their choice. But we haven't endorsed any candidates, and Mr. Hargis, Reverend Hargis, have you endorsed any candidates in this campaign?
Christian Crusade has the same type of tax exemption that Public Affairs Institute has. Therefore, we cannot endorse a candidate, even through a front organization. Public Affairs Institute has endorsed a candidate and have gone out against another candidate. And by the way,
I'm not sure that they have endorsed anyone. As you recall on this program last week, they said they do not endorse anyone.
That was another falsification. You look down the list of Public Affairs Institute, and you will find that most of the founding members of that are extremely active in the Hubert Humphrey campaign. And Hubert Humphrey, without any doubt, is one of the main thrusts behind this front organization formed by Public Affairs Institute. And they are a front for Public Affairs Institute, and there's no doubt about the fact, and this is his Humphrey's right to do it. He's just trying to be rather clever about it and do it through Arthur Larson.
But by your logic, many of the Birch Society members are active in the Goldwater campaign, and yet you say this doesn't mean that the Birch Society has endorsed
Goldwater. Well, we don't endorse candidates. We don't endorse candidates at all. Now, Dr. Larson, who's head of this committee, is also one of the leading lights of the Johnson campaign committee. Now, Robert Welch nor John Russolo, or many of the leaders of the John Birch Society, are not head of any Goldwater committees anyplace. And so you see, the charge is false that the John Birch Society has endorsed anybody. We haven't. And they constantly try, they think, to dislodge people away from Senator Goldwater by saying the Birch Society is doing this or that, when we've never endorsed any candidates. And they know it. And I think it's tragic that Dr. Larson would perjure himself so much on a program like this with these kind of lies. He just shouldn't do it.
Let me go to this side of this point that we were talking about a while ago, on whether your attacks are undermining faith in our system of government. Dr. Hargis, I have this as a quote from you, if you'd say whether it is or not. You quoting Herbert Philbrick at one time, that in the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare will be found fully one-third of the top echelon of the communist conspirators of this country. It's estimated that from 75 to 80% of the responsible officers in the department are conspirators. Is this your view?
Let me say this. I'm unlike the liberals. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. That was a mistake, and in a subsequent edition, I changed it and even apologized. When I make a mistake, and I am shown that I've made a mistake, I don't hesitate to say that I've made a mistake. Unlike the liberals, I'm not deity. However, getting back to the Hubert Humphrey thing, there's one point I want to make, because I think this is very interesting. Personally, I believe that Hubert Humphrey, although his name does not appear on the committee, since he is one of the founders and backers of Public Affairs Institute, I believe that he's very much a guiding hand in this whole anti-conservative or anti-right-wing movement called the National Council of Civil Responsibility. I found last night a letter which Public Affairs Institute has recently printed, a letter that was sent to them by Hubert Humphrey, which I found interesting. Quote, indeed, this is from Humphrey to the Public Affairs. Indeed, we do not want anything to happen to the Public Affairs Institute. I'll bet he doesn't. Unless it would be to expand its activities. Certainly they have done that. What a wonderful institute you operate. It has been a great help to all of us. Hubert Humphrey's in this thing. I just wish, if he was, though, he would admit it and quit hiding behind the scenes and manipulating all these groups that are helping the liberal cause by their denunciation of Senator Goldwater.
Well, let me go to some more of the specific things for which you're being criticized. The John Birch Society, Mr. Welch, for example, in your magazine, has said that now, this year, the United States is 50 to 70% communist controlled. Is that, am I putting
it
correctly?
Communist influence and control. Yes, this is from our scoreboard issue, which deals with the influence in education, in government, and so forth, by experts from all over the country that write on this subject. And on the basis of this, there is a great deal of communist influence in our country today. The communist press itself argues about it. and supports that concept, that they have that much influence in public affairs. And there's no doubt about it. The record will show it.
Now, does this apply specifically to the government? Is the government
50%? Well, no, it isn't just the government. It's the influence in education, the influence in some areas of the communication media, in many other areas, in religion sometimes. And I don't think there's any doubt about the effectiveness of the communist conspiracy in penetrating. As J. Edgar Hoover says, it doesn't take many people. It only takes a few communist hands to work to get non-communist hands to do their bidding. J. Edgar Hoover discusses that in his book, Masters of Deceit. And I think that whole thesis of how a few communists penetrating, for instance, the civil rights movement in New York in the Harlem riots did such a fantastic job in getting a few communists in those riots, in getting people to break windows and to destroy property. And there's no doubt about the fact that communists have a great deal more influence in this country than people want to admit. Now, that's the record, and we don't have to defend that. It's a fact.
Well, when you say it's the record, I mean, this is the sort of thing that draws down upon you so much criticism on the grounds that such a statement, which seems so to defy reason, that 50 to 70% of the United States should be communist-controlled.
No, communist-influence.
Well, control is the word that was used.
Well, there's two words, communist control and influence.
All right. This sort of statement creates suspicion among people, suspicion of their neighbors, of their teachers, of their churches, and of the government itself.
Well, it certainly wakes people up to the fact that there is an internal danger. Now,
well, what would you have people do? I mean, with this kind of a statement, with your program
wonderful.
In general,
well, this is what we're advocating right now.
This is
what
we're advertising. That first of all, that they wake up, that they read books like J. Edgar Hoover's book, Masters of Deceit. That they read Billy James Hargis' book on the far left, which shows the communist penetration in that movement.
But as far as action, because the action that this has led to has been harassment of teachers.
No, this is a false charge. This is a false.
What do you think the National Council for Civic Responsibility is doing if they're not harassing? They come here last week and accuse us of siding with a communist, which is so ridiculous it doesn't even deserve comment. Here's Ralph McGill of the Atlanta Constitution on this stage last Sunday saying that we're un-American, and he's the same Castro sympathizer who urged the firing of Earl E.T. Smith, who was our ambassador to Cuba, because Smith had the courage to say that Castro was a communist. I have it in my book, in Ralph McGill's column in the Atlanta Constitution of January the 8th, 1959. He told his readers that we should aid the revolution of Castro. He says that it should be obvious, I'm quoting McGill, that Fidel has no intention of going communist. It is apparent that if this revolution does not succeed, the next one will go far to the left. He says, first we should recall Ambassador Earl E.T. Smith. He several times referred to Castro as a bandit. This stamps Smith as a most unobservant man. And his ambassador who failed to give his country sound information. John, let me ask you this.
Well, we have when just you a short
had,
time.
When you
I'd like
had
to ask
Ralph
conclusion.
McGill on the program last week, why didn't you call him to task for this statement pro-Castro? Now, the people who today are criticizing Billy James Hargis and the Barry Goldwater and the anti-communist movements were the ones who were pounding the drums for Fidel Castro a few years ago. Doesn't this say anything? They were wrong once. Can't they be wrong again? They most certainly are.
When you quote from Mr. McGill, do you consider that his statement at that time is merely an error or a part of the communist conspiracy?
Well, I don't think there's any way of telling whether that kind of question. I'm sure it was just naivety on his part. He was misled by the State Department, who was also calling Castro the George Washington of Latin America.
Sorry, our time has run out. I want to thank you very much for being with us on Issues and Answers.
Our guests this week have been former Congressman John Russolo of the John Birch Society and the Reverend Billy James Hargis of the Christian Crusade. They were interviewed by ABC News correspondent John Rolfson. Next week at this same time, Issues and Answers will bring you the Secretary of State, the Honorable Dean Rusk. We hope you'll be with us. Issues and Answers is produced by Peggy Whedon, a presentation of ABC News. This is Bill Brophy, ABC New York, with the latest news from ABC Radio. In the top of the news, Hilda spins out. Demonstration in Belfast. Quiet day in politics. In a moment, the details.
Are you for? Are you for a filter and Rick's flavor too? The logical move. Make the logical move to L&M. The rich flavor cigarettes with the modern all-white filter. Make the logical move to L&M.
Now the news. Hurricane Hilda is breaking up in Dixie. Now is a tropical storm. Winds are below 65 miles an hour. Hilda left a trail of at least 30 deaths, scores of injured, and millions of dollars in damage. Most of the fatalities were caused by tornadoes which spun off from the hurricane. A small twister touched down at Evergreen, Alabama today, but no one was injured. According to the Weather Bureau, more twisters are possible. ABC contacted Patrolman Eddie Smith of the Macomb, Mississippi Police Department, who testified to the storm's weakened condition.
No damage to mount anything at all. Nothing but limbs off of trees and a few light lines blown down. It's still raining hard here at this time.
That from police at Macomb, Mississippi. On Hilda, now heading northeast, but now only a tropical storm. Tension increased on the eve of elections in Northern Ireland today. 10,000 noisy demonstrators marched through the streets of Belfast behind a banned Republican flag. Defying police, the demonstrators held an election rally in the city's center. In Washington, a day of rest for President Johnson, Senator Goldwater, and Congressman William Miller. The Democratic vice presidential nominee, Senator Hubert Humphrey, is on the West Coast today. On ABC's Issues and Answers today, a discussion of political extremism. One of the guests, Atlanta Constitution Pulitzer Prize winner Ralph McGill. What danger does the right wing present to the U.S., McGill said.
The dangers range, of course, from the vicious extremism now before the public, specifically in Mississippi, where there have been bombings and murders, including two near murders last night. Dynamiting of a church and a home, shotgun blasts, a two-month-old child almost killed, to the very serious distortions of fact and error in various smear publications.
Ralph McGill of the Atlanta Constitution on ABC's Issues and Answers. French President Charles de Gaulle ending a 10-day tour of Latin America has promised French technical, scientific, and cultural aid to Argentina. De Gaulle's visit to Buenos Aires has been marked by demonstrations in the streets by thousands of supporters of ousted dictator Perón. Negotiations in the General Motors strike resume about an hour from now. The nationwide walkout by auto workers against GM is in its 10th day. UAW President Walter Reuther declined to speculate on when the strike might end. Reuther said, "We're doing all we can to keep the talks moving." A communist daylight ambush close to Saigon today. Some 25 government troops killed. One American also killed. Connecticut's Democratic Senator Abraham Ribicoff has been released from an Albany, New York hospital where he was taken after a near collapse during a speaking engagement. Hospital authorities say Senator Ribicoff suffered from fatigue.
Wouldn't you really rather have a Buick? A Buick, 65 Buick. Wouldn't you really rather have a Buick than any other car this year? You want action, you want power, you want the beauty only Buick shows. It's time you guessed it, time you confessed it. It's time you came right out and said, "Hey, I want one of those." Wouldn't you really rather have a Buick? A Buick, 65 Buick. All of the beautiful 65 Buicks are here.
You've been listening to the latest news from ABC Radio. This is Bill Brophy, ABC New York.
Follow the campaign on the ABC Radio Network.